Can you just give me one more try at that?
What's up, listeners? We need to stop talking about Fourth Meal because we're on the air.
We got you. No Fourth Meal.
Welcome to episode number 2 of the Fresh Cast. Contrary to popular belief, we are not giving up after one episode. This is not our maiden voyage. We survived the icebergs and we're still kicking. So
the struggle continues.
That's right. So how's everybody doing this week?
I have mono.
And it has mono.
That's something we want to know when we're in a, you know, 2x2 foot.
This is true. Recording booth.
A cubicle, yeah. Please don't cough on me or anyone else. Mm-hmm. So joining me today in the sound booth, we have the lovely Danny Mendoza.
Hello, fellow listeners.
Yay. That's all you have to say?
Chez.
All right.
Yes. Indeed, lovely.
And we have the dynamic disciple himself, Mr. John Cruz.
Thank you.
John Cruz.
I love your introductions.
Yay.
Thank you. I spend a lot of time on this. I stand in the shower in the mornings and I try to think of alliterations for
you. Alliteration is everything.
Alliteration is everything. And let's not forget Mr. Benamore.
That's it. Mr.
The notorious Mr. Benamore.
There we go.
Notorious. After only one episode, he is officially notorious.
I can dig it.
And I'm your host, Zach Niblick.
Hey.
You don't That's even cool. give yourself a little
Zachary.
Credit.
I don't give myself. That's right.
The marvelous Zach Niblick.
No, complimentary adjective start with a Z, so I can't do anything with alliteration.
Well, no, what's something something host? You know the
DJ Niblick. I
meant something with an H. What? You know the alliteration.
Oh, DJ. Hopeful, because he thinks this show will.
The hottie host.
The hottie host. I like that better.
The hottie host. See, it sounds dumb, but it's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
Something that is cool and it's dumbness, and you don't get that very often.
Well, listeners, we have a very interesting show for you today. It's rather experimental. We're still trying to test out our format, trying to figure out what's going to be best for the listeners, you guys, make it interesting. So instead of having like various different news stories, I think today we decided we're going to try out just a little discussion, just like setting a microphone in the middle of our awesome tables of discussion that we generally find ourselves having. And we're going to have, I'm not going to lie, one's a little depressing, one's not so much.
So hang in there,
and we'll have some awesome listener mail for you.
Just like that cat in that poster, keep hanging in there.
Hang in there, kitty.
There is a cat poster?
Yeah, you know the cat that's hanging by the tree saying, hang in there, little buddy, or something?
It simply says, hang in there, kitty.
Hang in there, kitty.
Pretty sure.
I'm looking at the wrong one.
Is it one of those,
if we have a listener named Kitty, hang in there.
You know, encouragement posters.
Yeah, it's an encouragement poster, but it doesn't have, like, the black...
Motivational.
It's not in a black border kind of...
Nice.
Thing like that.
Nice.
All right.
It's a traditional.
Well, so like I said, this is fairly depressing, but I feel like it is an important topic because
it needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. I feel like we have a perfect cast to like discuss this type of thing. So basically, let me read you this little story. This came out on Good Is today. The title is called "Should Parents Be Allowed to Pray Their Children Healthy?" Give you a little quick rundown, really quick. Herbert and Catherine Scheibel of Pennsylvania's First Century Gospel Church were given 10 years of probation yesterday for praying their 2-year-old son's health instead of taking him to a doctor. The child, Kent, who was sick for 2 weeks prior to dying in 2009, ended up passing of pneumonia. Quoted, "We tried to fight the devil," the couple told their arresting officers, "but in the end, the devil won." The Scheibels were now free to go home to their 7 remaining children. 7, wow. With one caveat, that they regularly take the kids to the doctor for checkups. And then the article continues to say other instances about, you know, families being prosecuted for the same thing.
Interesting.
It is interesting. And I feel like I don't know, it's an interesting topic. Do you think the parents should be, it's random, but it is, what do you think? What is everybody's opinion on this? Because
that should absolutely be illegal to not give a kid medicine if he's dying.
Okay.
That is murder, in my book.
And I'm saying, absolutely. I'm interested, and I'm not, being I'm interested to hear you say that because you are
you are a devout
Christian, so that
these people are of a different breed, I would say.
A different pedigree.
Yeah, that is a little radical, and
that's rather radical, the fact they have 7 children. I mean,
and you know that whole letting one of them die thing, that's kind of radical
too. Over pneumonia, which is easily able to be
especially in a young child.
Well, the fact that they think that the reason their son is sick is devil work, like, that's already a bit of a stretch. You know, the average cold is not the work of Satan. And the fact that, you know, I mean, then this just, I don't know, it's just ridiculous.
But I feel like further down in the article, it says, last year, Jeff and Marcy Bagley were convicted of criminally negligent homicide for not seeking out medical attention for their teenage son, Neil, who died from a congenial urinary tract blockage.
Wait, this the same parents?
No.
It's a different case study here.
And it was the same reason.
And in 2008, the Bagley's granddaughter, so this is the same family, their granddaughter, Ava, also died when her parents anointed her with oils to cure her pneumonia rather than taking her to a hospital. Ava's parents, however, were acquitted of manslaughter. I feel like a teenage guy dying of urinary tract blockage, like, that's so easily curable. I mean,
I know.
If you don't mind me bringing it up, urinary tract blockage, didn't you?
Yeah.
And like,
and I am
and you're still kicking because you just went to the doctor and they gave you some antibiotics, right?
Yeah, essentially.
So I mean, that to me is amazing. Like that a parent would knowingly deny their kid.
I mean, it's unfortunate, of course, but unless the idea is not spread around, like those hardcore Christians that are just absolute radicals are gonna keep spreading the word unless it's stopped. I mean, the only way you can stop such things is either get child care and such things like that, but it's really hard to detect. I mean, how long ago was this detected and reported to the police? I mean, it's up to that.
Right, and it's obvious that they're not, like, trying to hide it. I mean, it's not like them being just, like, negligent parents. I mean, like, when the doctors asked, you know, why did your kid die? It's like, oh, devil.
Some people just don't believe in the use of medicine. I mean...
Right, and this is not like a condemnation of Christianity in any way.
Well,
it's basic like human.
Decency. Well, think about it. It's not even just Christianity. It's Scientologists don't believe in medication.
That's
during,
very true.
It's
not just Christianity. That's
it's
right.
tons of different weird.
Good point.
You know,
Tom Cruise is gonna kill her kid. His kid. Nah.
Killer his kid.
But yeah, it's just uncalled for, and it's really. For lack of a better word, it's stupid.
It's sick. It's very. It's just. It's.
It's morbid.
Disturbing. There's a lot of words we could use here.
Yeah. Well. So that was. God, that was thoroughly depressing.
It's not a good day.
Hey, it was beautiful this morning.
It was.
It was sunny in Philadelphia this morning, and I was.
You know, I get why they call the show that now. Really, it is. I mean, not like.
Even if it's awesome cold and freezing, it's always sunny.
I live near Pittsburgh, and it is. Overcast all the time. 90% of the time, it's cloudy.
Okay,
what are you
like?
Guys
I'm taking this.
It was literally very.
As the host of the show, I am always looking for ways to transition smoothly. Right there.
Did I just do it for you?
You give me some. That was awesome.
Buddy.
Can I just say?
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately for Chicago, it's not in the same situation where they're buried under how many feet of snow? Cars are being piled up basically on highways and everything like that. It's a snowpocalypse.
But you know what's hilarious though?
Feed the kids there, man. Just saying, donate some money.
No, just they didn't make it to the Super Bowl, so nobody cares.
Bring my city into this.
Is it? Can
Chicago.
We all agree that that was just like as unfortunate? Because all of us in here were rooting for the Steelers.
I was only rooting. I'm only rooting for the Steelers because of my hatred for Green Bay.
Actually, only
Green
one
Bay.
Of us is from Pennsylvania.
Well, we all live in Pennsylvania currently.
We all live in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
I want
to. Hey,
I'm the only one from Pennsylvania.
Regardless of our disappointment at the game, I think we can all agree that the commercials this year were debatably the best they've been.
Well, I don't know about that. They were
in recent memory.
In comparison to the game, they were great. But as Super Bowl commercials go, I don't know. I've only watched a couple of them twice.
Actually,
but.
Fun fact about it: this was the most aired and viewed Super Bowl ever.
Yes, I
ever.
Saw that. I did.
No, really.
Yes, it
they
was
go
the
up
most
each
that,
year.
Does that go up every year?
Yeah,
basically.
You think it'd cap out eventually? I guess that's not true.
You think people would start watching it like that?
You think people would stop having so many kids?
That's not gonna happen.
When they die. To the doctor.
If you have sex, you're going to die.
I'm so sorry. That was
real.
Did we all just laugh at a bunch of kids talking?
Oh, yeah, unfortunately.
What was your favorite?
Can we all just go around and at least just say our favorite commercial? I think it goes without saying. Never mind. What is yours?
You go first, Bennett. I want to think of mine.
I gotta say, mine was not a commercial. It's got to be one of the movie trailers. I haven't decided which one.
Okay, no, that works. That's
Might have been the Captain America trailer. I was on the fence before.
Really?
I was on the fence before, and now I'm legitimately excited for that movie. Super 8 trailer was also really
Super
good.
8 trailer
but
was
I already knew
phenomenal.
Super 8 would be good.
The
so,
Super
8
trailer was
amazing. It was amazing. It was fantastic. But I already knew it would be.
If you,
Captain
if you
America,
pick,
it could have been dumb.
If you had to pick an ad, though, what would you pick?
Most memorable one is the Tibet one.
The Tibet.
Oh.
I feel like we can all agree on
that
was amazing.
That was excellent.
For Groupon. You know, when I looked that up online, I found out that wasn't their first one like that. They had it with Elizabeth Hurley.
That's the one I was talking about earlier with the spot trip.
I never saw that one. Yeah, I mean, now I watched it, but how long ago was that?
I don't know. All I know is I saw it after the Super Bowl, and I cracked up laughing on how horrid of a message they're sending.
Was it about Brazilian rainforest or something like
yeah,
that?
Like the Brazilian rainforest is being destroyed, but on the other case, go to the spa with Groupon.com and enjoy a great
day here.
The
Tibetan commercial. Just like the mountains of Tibet, they're
beautiful.
The people
are
very
dying.
Their culture is in trouble. Their ways are dying, but they can still whip up a mean fish curry. And it was just
like... You don't see it coming, and as soon as you do, you laugh, and then you evaluate your life and how
American.
How hard
well, that's
laugh.
Why it's like B-list actor Timothy Hutton who's doing that.
True.
Not like some,
it's not somebody,
somebody
like putting
who actually
their career
has, yeah,
on the
exactly.
line.
Yeah.
That and the, well, the, all, I think all the Doritos commercials were.
Of course. Each year the Dorito commercials
classic.
Get better.
Yeah.
But
I mean, licking the those oh in the pants.
It's interesting. There wasn't one of those Clydesdale like Rocky Mountain.
I called it. I said the commercial where. The western where like the guy walked into the bar and he was like threatening
yes,
to like shoot the
good.
Place up without him, and then like the Clydesdales came in.
Peter Stormare, the actor there.
Yeah, nice. The Clydesdales came in and like gave the beer, and I was just like, I will be so happy if that's the only appearance of Clydesdales during the Super Bowl, and they were. And I, you know what, it's about
okay.
time we wrote some.
Honestly, dude, I kind of like those ads, the Clydesdale ones.
Wow, you are an old woman.
old woman at heart here.
Maybe I like Rocky
so
much that any reference to it I love.
So we got Lawrence Welk last episode and Clydesdale's this episode. I feel like our like 70 and above demographic is doing very well right now.
I'm liking this.
Now here, maybe somebody can help me. My favorite commercial, I can't remember what it was for the life of me, but it was like the one right before the game got started with the guy, and it had to do with some like rewards card I think, but he's talking about how he can go anywhere and do anything he wants. And he starts off as like this.
Oh yeah,
yes.
By the end of the commercial,
he's
like a
woman.
Total transvestite.
You remember what that was for? I thought it was hilarious.
It was some traveling thing. It was like a Groupon kind of thing.
It was like
a Groupon, but it was
card.
Similar.
It
was very
like
similar to the Groupon ones.
I thought that was a really funny commercial.
All right. Well, so I feel like our second discussion topic is much, much more lighthearted. Something that we all enjoy. As we all know, and by we, I mean the people that care about movies, and I'm hoping some people care about movies. Listen to this, the Oscars are coming up, and as film nerds, as film buffs, we'd like to, you know, have a little discussion about our predictions. I really feel like this is not getting too, I don't want the show to get too niche, but I feel like this is just wide enough to,
I mean,
like,
it's, we can't help it, the Oscars are coming up, it's not our fault.
Yeah. So let's have a little bit of discussion about these categories. Just go through these real quick. Everybody, let's get some get at each other's throats.
Get some
real
discussion
quick.
Going.
So
I don't want to die.
We should maybe have separate for who we would like to win and who we think will win. Because
right.
that's
I
different.
He has a
very, way
he has
most
a very good
categories.
Point right there.
So
we should say those.
So for the first category, actor in a leading role, we have Javier Bardem for Beautiful, Jeff Bridges in True Grit, Jesse Eisenberg in The Social Network, Colin Firth in The King's Speech, and James Franco in 127 Hours. Do you want to just start this in a linear fashion, Danny?
I will say this. I want Jeff Bridges to win, but unfortunately he's very unaudible in much of that movie.
What? Is that? Oh, okay.
You get what I'm saying?
He also won.
Eye patch. But in other words, even though I have not seen 127 Hours, I would pull for James Franco.
You think James Franco's going to win?
I would hope so, yes.
I'm surprised by that. The thing is, he's not going to win because he's hosting it. He's hosting the Oscars.
I know.
So it's like, that'd just be weird. It's like, the Oscar goes to me.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so cocky.
So
I just saw that movie the other day, by the way, 127 Hours. It's really, really good. It's not...
Okay.
It's as good as I thought it would be. It's not better than
But do you think it's enough to, like... To make him
he did a good job,
actor.
But he did not do as good as Colin Firth in The King's Speech, which brings me to my pick.
Okay.
Which is both who I think will win and my pick, Colin Firth and The King's Speech.
That's who you want to win?
Yeah, he was the only thing I liked about that movie.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I feel like that's a very safe choice.
Yeah, and now, he's going
to
win.
I have to say that, you know, preface this, I've only seen True Grit and The Social Network of these five movies.
Okay.
But I could have told you when I saw the preview for King's Speech that Colin Firth is going to win.
Who do you want to win, though?
A lot of the two movies
Jesse
I saw.
Jesse Eisenberg.
No, I like Jeff Bridges better.
Really?
Jesse Eisenberg, I thought, was the weakest part of that movie.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he really
did. I didn't think he was,
you are throwing your opinion.
I didn't think he was bad.
Right
in
the middle of a train track.
I think the three lead characters, Justin Timberlake, Andrew Garfield, and Jesse Eisenberg, were all equally good.
Andrew Garfield was
phenomenally
good. Andrew Garfield was great.
That's what I'm saying. I thought he was the best.
He totally
was. Okay. I thought you were saying
Garfield was the best.
What about you, Zach? Yeah, actually.
I think that Colin Firth will win. I think that's my safe option. But, and this is, by the way, can we all go with stating after the Oscars airs, we're gonna tally who was right on this, and whoever wins gets a breakfast made by the rest of them for them. So it'd be awesome.
Except I don't have a stove or the material.
We'll figure something out.
So I think Colin Firth will win.
Yes,
that's my official vote. Yeah, but I would want Jesse Eisenberg to win. My Social Network was phenomenal. So actor in a supporting role, Christian Bale in The Fighter, John Hawkes in Winter's Bone, Jeremy Renner in The Town, Mark Ruffalo in The Kids Are All Right, and Jeffrey Rush in The King's Speech. Is this one even?
This is
Christian
not
Bale.
Even. It's Christian Bale.
I feel like on three,
yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Christian
Bale.
I'm going to disagree with all you and be the devil's advocate.
You're
going to
say Jeremy Renner,
aren't you? No, I'm going to say Mark Ruffalo.
You think he's going to win, or you think you want him to win?
I want him to win. I mean,
think he will win, though?
Do you think he will win?
No, you think Christian Bale
will win.
Moving
okay,
on.
Let's, hold on, hold on. Let's, Danny.
But is that...
No, don't try and convince me. I don't want to... No.
This is being recorded. Like, you can't take this back. So make your... This is totally your final answer, millionaire. Like, what's...
Sean Connery.
Damn it.
All right. Well, we've got Danny pulling for Sean Connery for best supporting actor.
He's the wild card. I'm going to pull him for the wild card.
Good
on this
luck
one.
On that one.
All right. So is that your official vote, Sean?
Your official vote for the actors.
You're going
to
handicap all of us a point right now?
Sean Connery in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
All right.
Is that illegal?
I'm fine. You said
out of, yeah, whatever. Hey, that's fine. We've got Danny on the record pulling for Sean Connery.
I love you, Danny.
Best actress in a leading role, Annette Bening in The Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman in Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman in Black Swan, and Michelle Williams in Blue Valentine.
Oh, this one's
this
tough.
Is between Annette Bening and Natalie Portman.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think we can all agree with that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And, well, I think, I have no idea. I saw both the movies. They both did phenomenal.
I didn't see The Kids Are All Right, but I've heard phenomenal things.
It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's good.
It's raunchy.
It's quite raunchy.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Well,
but,
I'm gonna say that
I
want to win, and my pick for
Julianne
Moore
is
obviously
Mark Ruffalo.
Portman.
Raunchy.
Okay, I wouldn't say raunchy, but
let's
not the movie, the two of them.
regardless of its raunch factor, what do you guys?
I think
Epic
Natalie
raunch.
Portman.
Okay.
I think Annette Bening will win because Natalie Portman will have many more opportunities in her career to win, and I think the Academy voters know that.
I think the Academies are jerks and they really care.
Yeah, no, actually, I want Natalie to win. I think.
Well,
Annette
I mean,
Bening
look at
win.
Like
you do.
Jeff Bridges last year. He won mostly because people were like,
true.
"Oh, it's Jeff Bridges' turn." I mean, no, I'm not saying he did a bad job in Crazy Heart, but
I'm going with my gut and saying Natalie Portman, but I do think that I could very easily be wrong about.
So what you're basically saying is whoever's in line that year is basically going to win.
Whoever's knocking
is
on death's
to say
door more
the Oscars
than
the
other
are so rigged and staged. It's not even like...
It's
no, it really is. I don't know why
it's
we...
never
surprised. So
in order to finish this one, this category, I'm just going to say Natalie Portman
thank
both
you.
Choose and,
want,
and will.
You, okay.
I mean, come
fair
on.
Enough.
What, you didn't want to vote for Carrie Fisher in Star Wars?
Yeah, I was pulling for that one too, but I decided to change that.
I'm glad we... Actress in a supporting role, we have Amy Adams in The Fighter, Helena Bonham Carter in The King's Speech, Melissa Leo in The Fighter as well, Haley Steinfeld in True Grit, and Jackie Weaver in Animal Kingdom, a movie that
I would never have heard of. I saw the trailer to Animal Kingdom. It looks great. I'm going to get it as soon as I can.
Nice. So
came out, I think it's an Australian
film. This is an interesting category to me.
Who won the Golden Globes for this?
Did Melissa Leo?
I think it was somebody from The Fighter.
Well, see, here's what I want Haley to win. I went. She was phenomenal.
That would be great.
I have said, I'm sorry, I have said phenomenal like 10 times in this podcast. I really need to
get phenomenal.
Like,
please
thing is about her, the thing is about her.
She did a good job, but she was one note the entire time. Now, that was good for that movie.
No, let's see, but that's not a, that's,
it,
that's
it worked
not
for
a
that,
criticism.
Hold on, let me finish. It worked for that movie.
Oh.
It absolutely worked for that movie. She was only supposed to be one note. But it doesn't prove she's a great actress. It just proves she can do a good job. I'm sure she'll have many more opportunities to prove that she's
right, but
she's
I mean,
actress,
you can't deny that. I mean, her acting, like in the scene where she's at the coffin store and her the person's like describing, she's like, "Oh, do you want to like kiss your father? Do you want to like light a candle and sleep with him?" He's like,
it's,
"He's
it's
like,
all right.
No, I don't care. I just need the papers. Like, this is a fa-. Like, she was so she assumed the role of an adult, like
right away,
and embodied it in a 14-year-old.
Yeah, I'm not
role,
saying she
was,
did a bad job. She did a great job.
Right,
I'm
just saying
she didn't do anything.
So you're again
special,
referring back to
but
the
don't
fact
get me wrong,
that who's
I do
next
think
in
she
line.
Won't. I don't think she will win.
I don't think she'll win.
But I want her to. But I will. My vote is for Melissa Leo.
One of the two from The Fighter is going to win.
So nobody thinks Helena
Bonham Carter was. Whoops. Might as well have been nobody in King's Speech.
Okay,
she did. She did nothing special at all.
Okay.
I think they were just didn't have enough actresses, so they just chose somebody.
I'm not gonna say anything on this subject because I don't. I haven't really seen the.
Are you really gonna?
You
so you first Sean Connery, and now you're just not even gonna vote. Like, do you
come
want,
on, Daddy.
Okay,
you
know what? Fine. I'm just gonna
not.
Pull for Haley because that's the only fucking movie I've seen in this category.
Okay.
So Haley Steinfeld.
All right. Okay. Yeah, as long as you can cook well.
I like to cook.
Better make me some good eggs.
I don't make good eggs.
You
I make
mean,
good.
Better make me some good something.
What about
eggs?
What's the next category?
No, what was your?
I already said mine, didn't I? No, I didn't.
We'll find
it
in there later. Okay.
Oh, I asked about Helena.
Who do you think will win?
I think Melissa Leo.
So you and I are together on Melissa Leo.
Yes.
I'm also going
to
say Melissa
Leo. But I would
Melissa
like to see the True Beauty.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. We're on the same exact page.
So, okay, animated
feature film.
Animated feature film. There's
just
How to Train Your Dragon. There's Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
I think we just...
Oh,
yeah,
I Toy Story 3. I told little kids, but when little kids said that Toy Story 3 was, like, really lame compared to all the other ones, I told them, I waited 11 years of my life to see this movie. Don't tell me that.
Okay, Dave, you're the only person who can say that.
Art direction.
No, I totally agree with it on every level of that.
This is, again, an interesting category.
Where is the Black Swan?
It's what... We'll get there. for art direction, there's Alice in Wonderland, Harry Potter, Inception, The King's Speech, and True Grit.
Harry Potter got nominated for...
Absolutely ridiculous that The King's Speech is on there.
I agree. I think that... I think that True Grit is actually a contender for this because it is... But here's why I don't think it will win. Because True Grit is... a beautiful Western. It is. However, it is. There have been many, many other way more beautiful, way like better, just the
better
sense
shot.
Of the West. I mean, like it,
fact.
Yeah, it's not like there. I mean, I can think of like Shane and Good, Bad, and the Ugly and The Searchers, and they're just infinitely better Westerns. So like, I feel like Inception just for like it's not necessarily it's CGI, but can we all agree that the Inception will probably win art design?
Honest to God, I hate to say it, but The King's Speech could win.
Why,
the Academy,
loves
The King's Speech, and they are going to try to give
it
as much as possible.
Right, but what about a period piece has to do with its art design, though? Because it really is just pulling out
piece.
Of a textbook.
I don't know.
Okay, so
I don't even know why it was nominated in this category. But
no, I agree with you.
That
completely.
Tells me that it'll probably win, just because.
So we're just
going
to narrow it down to the fact is really between Inception and King's Speech.
Yes.
And everyone except
it?
Me says Inception.
And it's of course going to be one that's not those.
It's
totally
going to
be.
I'm pulling for Inception.
I'm
going
to say Inception on this one. What about you?
I don't really get what, like...
Art direction.
Thank you. What? No, what, exactly. Like,
Inception is fine. Like, the artistic qualities that go into making... Like,
yeah, well, is that different than, like, set design there or whatever?
Hold on. It says here set decoration. That could be the same thing as set design.
Yeah.
I think it includes production design, set design.
And a lot of it has to do with cinematography, honestly.
Cinematography is actually the next subject
on hand, but a lot of it has to do with the way that it's shot, like conveying the artistry theory.
Yeah, but if we're talking about sets and stuff, I don't see why Inception would even be nominated. It just takes place in a city.
What about the spinning hallway? That wasn't CGI.
Or
that was
the
set.
Bunker that's found in the
mountain.
Okay.
The building's
redacted.
Folding over.
Invalidated.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So cinematography.
There's very little CGI.
Okay, this category will be hotly debated. I can see.
Cinematography.
Cinematography. Black Swan, Inception, The King's Speech, Social Network, and True Grit.
Let the Titans flash on this one.
Every single one of these movies deserves to win.
Except for The King's Speech. Which had no cinematography.
Okay, we get it. You hate
anything.
The King's Speech.
I do hate The King's Speech.
Actually, no.
It was mediocre. It's just really overrated. I hate how much praise it's getting because it was a mediocre movie.
Well, it's this year's Oscar bait. That's it.
Yeah, it's Oscar bait.
I feel like
that pisses me off.
I feel like it's okay to both. Cut. I don't. I feel like we can just kind of discount True Grit from this, like in a process of elimination. Like it is good, but I.
Roger Deakins, we'll take out the King's Speech.
Cinematographer Roger Deakins has also won before.
This is Social Network cinematography was. It's a very like subtle underdog type cinema. Yes,
I have yet to see it. Just by the way.
Oh yeah, I agree. But I think Black Swan blows all of these out of the water.
Black Swan, no,
yeah.
Black
out of the water.
Black Swan has
that
no.
To Inception,
no.
Bobby Pfister for Inception. Like I don't think that you can contend.
The
like,
thing about no, I contend that Inception cinematography and really all of Nolan's movies, it's not so much about. It's just sort of showing what's happening. What's happening is really cool, but the cinematography itself is not that special.
Exactly.
It's just sort of pointing the camera at cool things.
Think about all the
shots. As opposed to Black Swan.
Black Swan.
That's
just
true.
Think about
the
Black
spinning,
Swan.
The spinning around the mirror where they digitally took out the cameras. Like,
yeah.
That was painstaking.
No, don't get me wrong. I think that Black Swan will win. I really...
Yeah,
cinematography and Inception was, like, you know, it was
I will give
good,
my vote to Black Swan,
cool
but
stuff.
I just, I'm, I don't know. I'm feeling...
Okay. So
I wish I could give Inception more love.
Black Swan.
Black Swan.
Black Swan.
Black Swan.
Okay, Black Swan.
Four for four.
Can
we skip
this? I feel like
ones?
This one. I feel like this one's actually very easy for costume design.
Where is Black Swan? Once again.
Well, for
no,
no
in costume
does not,
design.
It's,
no,
it's you can go to a ballet store.
Alice in Wonderland, right? Is that
kidding
what you're
me? See, like the
costume design. Alice in Wonderland. Crazy. I Am Love. The King's Speech. The Tempest and True Grit. I think King's
I
Speech is
know.
Gonna take this.
Probably the King's Speech.
Alice in
yeah.
Wonderland.
Yeah, imagine that, Alice in Wonderland pulling
really,
through in the clutch
yeah, but,
on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, but look at the King's Speech. The costumes are, like, ornate and exquisite. They're beautiful.
I mean, you could say the same thing about True Grit with all the
I mean, just, like, look at Colin Firth. He's, like, this, like, decorated, like, I mean,
Yeah, I say the King's Speech.
Yeah.
I say Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm
you know what?
Breakfast.
Could very well be
you know what? I will go with John on this one.
Oh,
Alice in Wonderland
really?
To win.
All right.
Costumes.
Finally.
So much of it was CGI, though.
But it was so vivid and...
Yeah, vivid CGI. That's not really a costume.
No, I mean some of that. A lot of that was actually
really?
Costume.
Okay, I thought that most of that
how about,
was CGI. I didn't
what
see
about
it.
Editing?
I don't know.
All right. The next category, according to the Academy,
directing.
But Harris again, Clash of the Titans. We have Black Swan with
Clash of the Titans gets nominated for Best Director.
No. I'm talking about
I know.
Darren Aronofsky for Black Swan, David O. Russell for The Fighter, Tom Hooper for The King's Speech. David Fincher for The Social Network, and the Coen brothers for True Grit.
Yeah. Before we get into the discussion, something interesting. The Coen brothers like said, okay, why did you nominate us for this? We've won this a bunch of times. You should have nominated Nolan. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what they said.
I agree.
I laughed.
I think
it
is
funny.
A travesty that Nolan was not even nominated for this.
He devoted his
we
life
know.
To
yeah.
Inception.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what do we... I'm going to save
okay.
mine for last. What do you
tough.
Guys think?
Okay, I think Darren Aronofsky should win. I think David Fincher will win.
I think
right.
I think David Fincher will and should win.
I
but Aronofsky did an amazing job.
I think that is a very valid point, Danny.
I'm going to pull for Black Swan on this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the direction that Aronofsky went with was very, very great.
I am a perfect 50-50 split between David Fincher and Darren Aronofsky. I couldn't decide at gunpoint who I wanted. However, for the sake of winning this delicious breakfast, I'm going to go with David Fincher. I feel like he's a very safe bet, and he also just deserves it.
He deserves it, man. He's
and he got the Golden Globe.
So many good movies.
He does deserve
yeah,
it.
And
he's
oh my God,
best.
Fight Club.
He's one of the best, dude.
Yeah.
But he deserves it just as much as Nolan deserves it.
So, and this is kind of like these are our filler points. These are like wild card points that'll kind of like you know
documentary.
Like
I did not see any of them.
League of okay, can we leave League of Extraordinary?
Leave League of Extraordinary Gentlemen out of this.
Sean Connery.
I think The Fall should win Best Picture.
Documentary feature. We have Exit Through the Gift Shop, Gasland, Inside Job, Restrepo, and Wasteland. And can I say that I find it very weird that, what was the Superman movie?
Oh,
Waiting
for
Superman. That wasn't nominated at all. I haven't
seen any of these.
I think the easy choice is Exit Through the Gift Shop.
That's the only one I've heard of besides
no.
Restrepo. So.
I
really
highly disagree with all of you because Restrepo should win this.
I've seen
Restrepo. Yeah. Everybody, if you have a Netflix, look up Restrepo. It's
What's
on
it
there.
About?
It's about Fort Restrepo in the mountains
I don't know
over there
Restrepo
in Afghanistan.
Means. What are Restrepo?
Restrepo was the name of one private that died over there in Afghanistan, and they named a camp after him, the fort or camp.
So it's like details soldiers' lives in Afghanistan.
Yeah, it's actually quite heart-like.
I wish the listeners could see the motion that Danny's doing. He's like tugging at his shirt in this like desperate.
It's heart wrenching because you're like looking and it's like this is the lives of these men and it's actually really powerful.
Nice.
So I'm gonna pull for Restrepo because that's not just
not the fact that it's the only movie I've seen in this, but it's actually very good.
So we got Restrepo for you.
I haven't seen any of these. The only one I've heard of are Restrepo and Exit Through the Gift Shop. So I'm going to go with Exit Through the Gift Shop.
John?
Inside Job.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I, too, am going to not pick one of those two, and I'm going to say Gasland because the Academy loves relevant movies. And
ooh,
I feel
wait.
Like
yeah, good point. I'm changing to Restrepo.
Nope.
Well, I'm saying
Yeah, I know. Restrepo is also relevant.
I thought you were going to say, oh, I'm changing my mind to the one that you picked, and it was
so
completely different.
Sorry.
Everybody just stopped.
Deception.
Me.
Okay, so we've got all our stuff. Gasland inside
Restrepo.
Two Restrepos here.
All right. Documentary short subject, Killing in the Name, Poster Girl, Strangers No More, Sun Come Up, The Warriors of Kui Gang. I've never heard of any of these.
Can we skip this one?
I think this one just won't count.
For bonus points. Okay.
Film editing, we have Black Swan, The Fighter, King's Speech, 127 Hours, and The Social Network. I don't know who even remotely
I'm
going to
throw it at
Torn.
I'm definitely giving this one two. I can't think of it. Social Network.
Social Network.
For sure.
I'll say I choose Black Swan to win, but I'm pretty sure King's Speech is going to, unfortunately.
That's a dangerous choice.
See, editing is all about the pacing.
I agree completely with the pacing of a film. With John, I am going to pull because there was so much back and forth between the story and the trial and
Social Network. If you think about it, it's just a bunch of drama, like a teenage drama story, but they made it interesting by the cuts and, like you said, going back and forth between.
Absolutely.
Here's something interesting for y'all. I do think Social Network will win in this category, but I want 127 Hours to win.
For film editing?
Yes, sir.
That would be a good one. I think the movie is
great, honestly.
Oh, well, and they have so little to work with. I mean, they count on the editing.
Let's hope on this one, then.
It works so well. Like, they have flashback sequences, dream hallucination sequences.
True.
They have. It's really good.
I feel like the next category, foreign language film, shouldn't even be contested. I think Beautiful.
Thank you.
I haven't heard of any of them
except
Beautiful.
I mean, Beautiful is the only foreign language film that's also nominated for Best Picture, so I feel like
it's not nominated.
It's not
nominated for Best
Picture.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm
pretty sure it's not.
It is not. Is it really? Best Actor. Javier Bardem. I'm sorry. Can we all agree on Beautiful?
Yeah,
Beautiful.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
This one's interesting. Makeup.
Wolfman's the only one I know. I'm just going to say that one.
But the guy who won for the Wolfman already won a makeup Oscar for American Werewolf in London. So I'm not so sure. I might say The Way Back. No, never mind.
I'm going to say The Way Back. No, because think of the makeup. Like, in The Way Back, like, their
lips they've done has
in
been,
the desert were just, like, just
but they've been doing that since, like, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Right. But, I mean, look at what it's compared to. I mean, it's like The Wolfman has been done before. And I'm going to laugh
know
what
Barney's
version. So, The Way Back.
The Way Back.
Yeah.
Way Back.
I'm saying Wolfman.
Wolfman?
Oh,
right.
Here's a good one. Music.
Yeah, this, I, okay. And then, can I say that again, for this is a music original score. Well, Daft Punk deserves to be nominated for this. And this is,
maybe
a travesty.
Especially if Nine Inch Nails is going
to
get nominated.
Music original score, How to Train Your Dragon, Inception, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, and The Social Network. If you don't mind me going first, I will say I am completely 100% split, torn, 50-50 between Social Network and Inception. I could not choose between the two.
Now, I don't want to, like, you know, cause a ruckus here, but Inception has great music, right? It's very, like,
oh, it's
very catchy.
It's intelligent. That's the thing that I think might propel
it
to
win. But it's also, like, about 5 minutes of score that's used throughout the whole film.
That is not. Have you listened to the soundtrack?
I have listened. I have, like, about four tracks.
I mean, like, I went home and bought, after both of these movies,
yes. And it's really not that complicated. You're right, it's smart and fits the movie, and if that's what they're judging it by, sure, but, like,
Social Networks. It's a lot of, like, guitar-distorted, like,
yeah, I don't
like
really like that nomination
bends.
Either. Where is Toy Story 3? That's my question.
I feel like Toy Story 3...
Randy Newman deserves a nomination.
Interesting thought.
And I really like the music to How to Train Your Dragon a lot.
Yeah.
Side note, is Randy Newman related to Thomas Newman, the other composer?
No, he's not.
Okay.
Not just coincidence.
So, what is everybody going to choose for this one? I feel like this one is just...
I think Social Network will win. I do not think...
Really?
Yeah. Because it won the Golden Globe.
I will say,
but did
Danny
Hans
agrees.
Zimmer win for best original score for Dark Knight?
No.
I don't think
did
so.
Did he not? Really?
I did not believe he did.
I think I'm going to have to go with Social Network, honestly.
So
I feel like
four for four on this one?
All of us Social Network.
We all think Social Network will win. Uh-huh.
Music, original song, Coming Home from Country Strong, I See the Light from Tangled, If I Rise from 127 Hours, so and good. We Belong Together from Toy Story 3. Can we all agree? Toy Story
3. Oh, yes.
That's so, that is my favorite song in the world.
From 127 Hours was amazing. Let me just add that. But it'll still be Toy Story 3.
Toy Story.
We're going to save the next category for last. Three. Short film, animated, is... I'm not even going to read... Like,
I've only seen Day and Night, but yeah. I think that's the only one I have to.
I think Day and Night is going to win.
Yeah,
that was
the short
one.
Film in front of Toy Story 3. Can we all? Best short film live action. I don't know any of these. That's another category.
Can we just do this? For the short film section, live action. Could you please put this up on your blog and show like which ones are which, or at least link so people.
I'm gonna put up on the blog what everybody picked and like with like a video link to each one.
Ah, all right.
Be interesting. Nice. I'll put it in the show notes, listeners. That way you can hold us to our word. Finally, one where Tron is nominated, sound editing. There's Tron, Toy Story 3, Inception, True Grit, and Unstoppable.
Unstoppable is there.
Whatever.
Interesting. Hey there.
It's a random monkey.
And you know, this isn't just for music. This is sound editing to the whole movie, which is surprising to me that Tron was nominated for it. I feel like I'm going to have to go with Inception. There was just so much.
Yeah, because that boom is so famous.
The amount of Foley art that went into Tron. Inception. Inception, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I'm in love with Toy Story 3 over Inception, so...
For sound editing.
There was
that.
Do you understand? It's an animated movie. All that has to be made within a sound studio.
Okay.
That makes
sense.
Can I
add something before we get too far off topic? I looked up the awards for music. For when The Dark Knight came out, it was not even nominated.
Really?
And the winner, though, here's what's really interesting, was A.R. Rahman, who did the music for 127 Hours and is nominated. So
really?
Did he win?
And
who picked 127? Did anyone pick 127?
No one here.
I just mentioned it was good.
So now I feel like he might get it.
They wouldn't give it to him twice in a row.
Sound mixing, we have Inception, The King's Speech, The Social Network, and
Salt. The King's Speech.
I don't know why
is The King's Speech there? Salt.
I feel like it's Inception.
Inception again.
What is the difference between sound mixing and sound editing?
I don't know.
Honestly.
Putting sounds together in one.
I can tell you that the listeners don't care. And we're pushing 36 minutes.
Wow. We should just
listeners.
Well, we're almost done. There's visual effects, Alice in Wonderland, Harry Potter, Hereafter, Inception, and Iron Man 2. This one's
Inception.
I think it's Inception again. It's
Iron Man 2.
Don't worry, listeners. Two more subjects.
Three. We skipped over one.
Well, see, now the last three are the most interesting to me, if you ask me.
Really? More interesting than Best Director?
Okay, well, okay. Writing, the best adapted screenplay, 127 Hours, The Social
it's
Network,
definitely going
Toy Story
to,
3,
True
Grit,
Grant, for sure.
Really?
Really?
I think it's definitely going to
the Social Network. No, I agree with John on this one. It was a very well-adapted movie.
It was
right off the original.
It was word for word very, very true to the original, but that
the book, wasn't not the movie.
The book. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, there's a difference between adapting it faithfully. Like,
I mean,
Aaron Sorkin probably will win. I think True Grit should win.
Okay.
So we've got two True Grit and Better.
And
than
I was actually thinking that Social Network was under original screenplay. I didn't realize that forgot it was based on.
It's
that.
The best original screenplay we have: Another Year, The Fighter, Inception, The Kid's All Right, and The King's Speech.
Inception, come on!
He wrote
it
for 8 years. Like,
I mean, then again, James Cameron wrote Avatar for 10 years.
Well,
but
James
still.
Cameron can't make anything with depth. So.
Yeah, I was just throwing I said the same thing to one of my friends, and he brought that up. So
I should have made
a
joke
point.
About like his lack of depth in like Titanic because it's at the bottom. I feel like I don't know. There's some kids make a joke out of that and send this into us.
Speaking of kids, the kids are
all
right.
Oh wait,
what
do we all pick for
screenplay?
Best original score or best original
screenplay?
Inception.
I think The Fighter.
The Fighter.
Really?
Not seen The Fighter yet, so I'm
it's
gonna
just
have
Boston
to say
accent.
Inception.
So yeah.
I'm kidding, but whatever.
So all four of us are Inception.
No.
King's Speech will win.
Finally. Our last...
Wait, hold on, no, I'm not for Inception.
What are you
this
for?
It's an interesting one. I think that The Kids Are All Right will win.
Okay.
I saw, like, an interview with the screenwriter slash
director. They
just
have something against Nolan. I guess I'm hopeful.
They have something against Nolan. I would love to see Inception win.
All right,
but
finally,
The Kids Are All Right
the big one, the big kahuna, big
Best
picture.
Picture.
I said big picture. Best picture.
I was correcting you.
Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception... The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone.
Ten movies.
That's right. This is the second year they've had 10 nominees. I enjoy 10 nominees.
I do not. I do not.
So it's fine.
It's fine until movies like Winter's Bone sneak in there. Like,
yeah.
What the heck?
I think it was between Winter's Bone and The Town, and I heard that Winter's Bone's terrible, and I know that The Town was amazing, so I'm kind of upset.
I'm very disappointed The Town wasn't nominated for Best Picture.
It only has
one nomination. It's Best Supporting Actor for Jeremy Renner. Yep. Unfortunately, he won't win because of another Boston guy.
So what are we gonna say for Best Picture? I think that the obvious. If we want to go for our breakfast, we should all say The King's Speech.
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
Social Network.
I want The Social Network.
The Social Network is one of my favorite movies ever. But I think The King's Speech will win.
I do not think King's Speech will win. Colin Firth will win Best Actor.
I don't care about breakfast enough.
You got to follow the Golden Globes. They won the.
I will say that's the thing. I want that's what I'm saying. Like, I do think that King's Speech is just it is, for all intents and purposes, the perfect Oscar bait. But it's a period piece. It's British people. Overcoming adversity without like making the actor look like weak. I feel like it's just.
I feel like I'm killing myself by not choosing
The King's Speech, though.
It is between the King's Speech and the Social Network.
Zach, do you want that breakfast?
All right, look.
No, I'm going with The Social Network.
Here's the way I look
at it.
It is between The King's Speech and The Social Network. Honestly, I think The Social Network is probably about...
It's far more relevant. It's more timely.
Yeah, but the Academy voters are older, and they don't understand Facebook. I mean, you don't really need to understand Facebook, but you kind of need to understand Facebook.
And you think the Hollywood Foreign Press understood
what... Hold on. I'm not done.
That's true.
All right, look. So, I think there's probably about... 75% chance The King's Speech will win, and 25% chance The Social Network win. However, I'm going to pick The Social Network because I want no happy feelings to be within me when The King's Speech wins. Because I hate that movie.
That's true. Okay.
So therefore, I pick The Social Network.
Social Network.
King's Speech.
King's Speech. All right. Danny's going to be the one getting breakfast. This is ridiculous.
The guy who nominated Sean Connery.
Sean Connery has a solid chance. Do not even play with
nominated
me.
Nominated Sean Connery.
All right. Really quickly.
That's mine.
So you said you had a story that you wanted to say, Danny?
On unrelated news to the Oscars.
You said that this was breaking news and that you needed, that this just needed to be brought up during the podcast.
I mean, obviously, other than the fact that Rocky Balboa got a statue in Philadelphia, the Detroit mayor decided to decline the offer of putting a RoboCop statue in the middle of Detroit.
That is breaking news if I have ever heard it.
Indeed it is. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want a big metallic robot in the middle of their...
No, RoboCop.
RoboCop. I'm sorry.
Not just any robot.
I mean, I feel like after
last night's Super Bowl ad, just like absolutely getting on two knees for Detroit, I really don't think that we need to worry
about
that.
That was the dumbest commercial ever.
Okay, wait. Who would win in the fight? Terminator or RoboCop?
I'm not even going to entertain that on this podcast.
Ditka.
Come on.
John... So we've had Danny's random contribution. What was it you were gonna tell
My
us?
My random contribution is actually kind of relevant.
Oh really?
Due to the Super Bowl. Something we're gonna stay within the topic there. I have an interesting fact for you guys. Did you know that over 20% of NFL players are convicted criminals? They have criminal records. That's
20%.
That's one in every five.
Somehow not surprising to me.
One in every five.
Wow.
And let's see here. The charges. The charges here include 2 murder arrests, 7 rape charges, 45 counts of domestic violence, just 45.
And this is in like what, in 2010, or just like period.
No, this is like over the last
life.
Yeah, and 42 charges of assault and battery. Now, I also read somewhere else that it says over 20%, but I read somewhere that it's closer to 40. But I wouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt, so I said over 20%. But
and
one count of dog violence.
Oh yeah, we all know about that guy. Yay Philly for picking him up.
I love living in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that was as random as that was, listeners. We're working around trying to get like a new segment up. We're thinking about John's random factoids of the week. That was the one that
factoids
he prepared. Factoids, I like it. We'll have you just pull up a random Wikipedia article. Learn random facts and bring them in. Okay, finally, as promised, our last segment. Because we're
Well, no, one thing really quick before, as a Chicago native, can you pray for the people there? Because that blizzard is really killing them.
It's the Midwest.
Dude! Cares.
If we have listeners in the Midwest, then we can start praying for them. But I feel like our listeners...
As a Chicago native, I resent your statement.
You're
right
used
there.
To... That's like what you guys are... I'm not used for.
I never...
He's going to send these to his friends in Chicago, and they're all going to be like, stop
right,
listening.
Yeah.
They're going to hate the Tennessee native.
Goes out to Chicago, whatever.
The terrible Tennessean.
If you're listening to this in Chicago...
God bless your soul.
Why
for
aren't you shoveling? Because seriously, dude, you guys are buried.
Fact.
All right. So as promised, our final segment on today's episode, as promised, we said that if you sent in an email in any form or fashion, we would read it on the air. We had a few interesting responses.
We had a few hundred responses, of
we had
course.
We had a couple thousand responses.
Bank accounts also.
By a couple thousand, I mean like three. But, you know, whatever.
Did we get three? I thought we only had two.
No. Nice. The first one was sent in to us by a Mr. Kevin Dannenberg. It says, this is an interesting email. It says,
brutal.
So I managed to listen to the whole 39 minutes, partially because my 11 o'clock got canceled this morning and had nothing to do. Bennett, just wanted to let you know that I wanted to bash your face in for a good 39
minutes.
That
sounds like Dannenberg to me.
This sounds like this person that I'm sure you can go stalk him on Facebook and track him down to where he
lives. Because, you know, I don't live six floors above him. What? What? Keep going.
Anyways, I think that's a different person from what you're talking about. It says from... Oh, P.S. Postscript. John Cruise rocked it.
Oh.
So,
good job, John Cruise.
I think I'm going to stalk this kid on Facebook.
Zachary,
I think
me and you are not even mentioned in that and how well we did our first episode.
I'm surprised.
It was so obvious and so natural.
Yeah. This one is from Mr. Charles W. Brown.
Charlie Brown.
In relation to the Charles Schultz comic character.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Just wear a shirt with like
Chuck?
A zigzag on it.
I'm going to wear it. Let's find our friend Chuck. He asks, hi, guys. It's Charles. Can I spy on you guys the next time you shoot your podcast thingy? I want to see what it's like. I'll be quiet and shit. Love, Charles.
Nobody is currently watching us.
Well, first of all, we're not shooting anything. We are recording something. And I feel like this booth is crowded enough. But however, you are welcome to look in the little window.
Charles,
next time we're here.
Find us.
Which these girls have been doing.
If you can get yourself to Philadelphia. Oh, yeah. I feel like we need to just, like, shoo them away. There's so many. There's hordes.
Yeah, we should probably get the intern on that.
Yeah.
We had another email come in from... Lauren Demery, but it something got corrupted with it, and like the link that was sent in didn't work, and the entire thing sent as like a picture that won't load. So, Lauren, if you're listening, we got your email, but it was when like Gmail converted to a picture. I don't know.
Okay.
We got your email, but unfortunately are unable to view it. So, thanks for writing in anyways, and
thank you, Lauren.
We'll try everything we can to. We'll send you a care package or something.
Just definitely not going to do that.
We'll find you on Facebook and send you a care package.
Some magnificent lotion. Yeah, I know I said it. Magnificent lotions and different sort of brands.
Well, I think it's time that we wrap this up. We're pushing 50 minutes. This has definitely been
50?
An eventful podcast. I enjoyed this discussion.
Yeah,
I like the Oscars were definitely. I feel like it might have been in retrospect a bit of a mistake to be so depressing at the onset. But you know, whatever.
Whatever.
So
we quickly conquered.
Listeners, raise your Arnold Palmers, get ready for the Oscars, and
cheers.
Enjoy the rest of your night.
Wait, before we sign off, we have to remind the listeners again. While we're in these first few weeks of podcasting. If you send in an email to todayatfresh@gmail.com.
Just one email.
todayatfresh@gmail.com. That's right, just one email. Please don't send duplicates. We will read it. We'll read it on the air, and you'll be famous.
We're just talking about how much you want to bash my head in, Kevin.
Yeah. negative, positive. We always appreciate pictures.
We
like free gifts, coupons, all that good stuff.
How are we going to read a picture on the air?
You can...
Okay.
Describe the colors. Right on.
Okay.
Send in an email to us at todayandfresh@gmail.com. As always, you can visit the content that we've talked about and much, much more on todayatfresh.todayinfresh.squarespace.com. where you can find this podcast if you're not already listening to it on iTunes. I don't know why you wouldn't, because it's up on iTunes. So you can catch us there. We'll all put lots of awesome little show notes and goodies in the post about the podcast. I feel like that's it. Do any of us want to plug anything? Follow us on Twitter, on Facebook.
JLCruz430 on Twitter.
Kitten Mittens.
With a Z at the
end. At the end. Yeah. Just make sure to spell mittens right. A lot of people spell mittens with an E.
Yeah, I totally thought it was
spelled
with an E through like my entire
life. Definitely an O-N-Z. Kitten Mittens. O-N-Z. And you don't tweet.
No Twitter here.
I don't like that tweeting stuff. It's not
I might start. I might get one.
That's it's good. Not my kind of expertise, nor do I want to make it. It's like World of Warcraft. I try to avoid it.
Well, listeners.
That's the thing you try to avoid. That's like the example you go to for something
yes,
to try
yes.
to avoid. Not like, you know, dark alleys or... Okay.
All right. Dark it's been real, listeners. Until next week.
Thanks, guys.
Have a beautiful life and send us some emails so we can make your stories.
Woo! Bye.
We love you.
Cheers.
Bye.